This is Jerusalem over here. Now, right here is Rome. So Rome is going to want to control its Bible with its bad texts. And they came out of Egypt or Alexandria down here. Okay. Now, Jerome wrote here in about the year 380. So Jerome is just before Constantine. Let's see if I have that right. At any rate, he's about the same time. Jerome then writes the Latin Vulgate Bible. He translates this Greek thing into Latin. It might be that he's just after or just before, I forget. At any rate, this Jerome Bible becomes the Latin Vulgate Bible. So Jerome's Latin Vulgate is the same as Constantine's, is the same as this Egyptian thing. They're all the same. So here's Constantine. All of those three make it here. And with that Bible, they intend to dominate Europe. The problem is that in northern Italy, there's a group called the Waldensians. And they have the original Greek text. Then there's a group in Constantinople itself that has the original common or vulgar Greek text, which is the original text. Then in southern France and over in England. Now, also Scotland, Ireland. Now, that means that the British Isles, long before Rome came, had the original text. Also in southern France and in northern Italy. So those were the places that Rome had to conquer. They had to kill off, and they did. They just destroyed all the French people down there. They had to kill off, and they never did because these people were up in the Alps, and it was too cold. You see now why God created snow. They never were able to, and those people to this day, in fact, one of our church members is from that area, Hans. And Hans, that's his, where his people are from that Waldensian anti-papal, anti-Rome group. But they're Italians. But they're Italians who do not submit to Rome's authority. So you may never have known this, but at no time did Rome ever have even Italy under its sway. Even to this day. It never happened. Now, so Rome had to now destroy all of these. They had to destroy this group over here. They had to destroy this group and this group and these two groups, particularly Ireland and Scotland, who also influenced then the Brits. Now, those five areas held out against the Roman text. They kept the common text. Now, what does all this have to do with King James? Because King James now is the inheritor of this. In 1453, when the Turks took over Constantinople, so this became Muslim, 1453, at that point, the texts began to run west. And so this group already had their texts, and so they already had the same text. The group down here also was receptive, and over here in England. And that's where the Reformation would have its beginnings, in those same exact areas. As a matter of fact, Luther's Bible was done off of a Waldensian text, which was the original text. These texts all agree totally. And they were checking themselves constantly. The Waldensians would check not with Jerome's Vulgate, Latin. And I'll show you another one. Another scripture is where it says, Joseph and his mother. Right? Joseph and his mother. Well, the Catholics didn't like that idea. So they wrote, his mother and father. You hear the difference? So they want to change it so that we don't get the original reading, so that whoever wants to promote their doctrines puts in whatever they want to put in, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses do. The other day, a Jehovah's Witness read me a passage that said God, and I said, that couldn't be God. The word is huios in the Greek. And a person didn't know Greek, of course. So I said, look, I will show it to you. Which, you know, you don't know it, but I'll show you it. I'm going to open up my Greek Bible, and I will show you that that's a mistranslation. This person was so impressed when I showed him. I said, look, this word is theos, that's God. This word is huios, that's son. The word is son. Here's the Greek, and I showed him. They were said, I've never seen a mistake in the Jehovah's Witness Bible before. And they admitted that was a mistake. I proved to them that you cannot translate that word huios as God. And they were amazed because it's the basis of their doctrine. So whatever you want to prove, you put in what proves your point, but it's not in the Greek. So the question is, what is the original? How do we have this original? So this text had been preserved through all these ages, and particularly here, and in Martin Luther, in 1517, Martin Luther was the one that started the Protestant Reformation. But he was not the key. The key happened 1 year before when Erasmus translated, and Erasmus was a Roman Catholic, died a Roman Catholic, never ceased to be a Roman Catholic, but Erasmus was the one who said, I've looked at all the texts. He was the greatest scholar of his age. There was no question about it. He was respected by Protestants, by Catholics, by humanists, by the scholastics. Everyone respected him. But he said, I've looked at them all, and I know that the Textus Receptus is the exact original text from the New Testament. And he was no mean scholar. Today, I tell you what, our scholars today cannot carry a candle to the scholars of the 16th, 17th, and 18th century. I'm going to show you in a second why what I'm saying is the absolute case. We don't have scholars today like they did then. Most of the scholars that wrote the King James knew 12, 15, and 20 languages. They knew the Egyptian, the Syriac, the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chaldean. They knew it all. And they didn't just know one or two. If they could get on that committee, there were 47 men that ended up on that committee. And they broke them into six companies. They had three at Cambridge. Two at Cambridge, two committees at Oxford, and two at Westminster. So that's six different committees. This one did the Old Testament and the New Testament. This one did the Old Testament and the New Testament. This one did the Old Testament and the New Testament. They each then broke it up, did their own translation, then came together to see if they had the same text. They each met, came together to see if they had the same text. Then they sent what they had to this group, they sent what they had to this group, and so on. And then they all came together in another general assembly, and then they sent back to everybody, and then they also told all the local pastors in England what they were doing, and they could send in on any given text because they did it systematically, and then they finally came up with the King James text based upon all the manuscripts that were available. And they rejected Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Alexandrinus, which are Codex X and Aleph and B, the great codexes. Now, the modern translations are all built on these bad texts. And that's why we do not trust, even when they're evangelicals doing it, we don't trust people that accept these texts. Why then do I favor the King James? First of all those men were not only scholars, they were men of God, men of great piety. For example, Lancelot Andrews would pray a minimum of 5 hours a day. And King James, who was a debauched man under any terms. King James, when he was in the room, he would stop his levity because he had such respect for this man who knew so many languages. This guy knew, you know, between a dozen and two dozen languages. This man was brilliant, but he would spend his whole life just for Jesus. And there were the highest Anglicans, the highest Puritans, and the highest Calvinists who wrote this book. They were all kind of evenly divided. You had Puritans, Anglicans, and Calvinists all getting along together to write this incredible book called the King James Version. Now, what's interesting here is that just before the King James Version was done, what happened, I'll put King James here. Here's King James 1611. What happened was in 1588, the Armada, and in 1582, you had the first Bible that the Jesuits produced. Remember, after Martin Luther in 1517, here's 1516 Erasmus, then Luther. Then after that, you had Beza producing a Bible. Tyndale produces in England in 1525. He produces an incredible Bible, not the Wycliffe Bible. You remember the Wycliffe Bible a couple centuries before was a translation from the Vulgate, from the Latin, from Jerome, and therefore it couldn't produce a Reformation. Even though he was a beautiful Christian, you can be a Christian and read the wrong text. But it's going to be hard for you to go forward with power because you're using the wrong authority or text as your base. And so it didn't come from him. 200 years later, though he started the Reformation, he was the morning star, he was the one that began it. Tyndale said, I don't accept Wycliffe's Bible. It's full of errors and mistakes, and it's built on the wrong texts. Tyndale then took Erasmus's text in 1516, a few years later. Tyndale, who was a student of his, Erasmus came to England in 1509 to 1514, and they studied together, and he studied Greek under him. Tyndale then said, I'm going to produce a Bible that's built on Textus Receptus, the original text. Erasmus produced his, Luther produced his, the Calvinists produced theirs, Tyndale produced one. So now England had one, France had one, Switzerland had one, the Geneva Bible was out, and so on. But Tyndale's Bible was the Bible that forms the basis of the King James. So what Tyndale did was this. He produced this Bible, he went to Germany where Luther was, produced it probably right there in Worms, Wittenberg, and had it sent to the printer. It came back, 18,000 copies went back into England, smuggled in, and King Henry VIII at that time said, I'm going to kill him. So he finally got him in Holland, right outside of Brussels, and he killed him. And here's what Wycliffe said as he was dying. Oh God, open the eyes of the King of England. And he perished. Now, within a year, King Henry, who had him killed, within a year, King Henry accepted the Tyndale Bible. Oh God, open the eyes of the King of England. Within 1 year, before the year was up, the King of England reversed himself and accepted Tyndale's Bible as the English Bible built on the original text. Now, I know why that happened, because Erasmus told him, look, that guy's using the best text. England will be free if you use these better texts, and you're not going to come under Rome's power and influence. And Henry said, I got your point. Let's go back to the original. Let England now prevail over Spain, because Spain and Italy, five countries had gone over to the gospel, the New Testament gospel, and had gotten away from Rome. You had Germany, of course. The German people were free. Now England. Also, you had, Holland. You had, Scandinavia. And there was another one. Switzerland. Okay. Five countries now had already gone, and still to this day are, Protestant. Another five were about to come over. France was one of them. It was almost coming over. Poland was one of them. Bohemia was one of them. Austria was one of them. And so on. So the Pope realized, whoa, this Bible is winning everybody away from us. The Vulgate, the Jerome Bible, is losing. We got to get somebody. Loyola, Ignatius, start the Jesuits. So Ignatius started the Jesuits going, and in 1582, they produced the first Rams Bible in English. And they said, we've got to get England at all costs. We'll hit them with the Bible. Philip, you are down here in Spain. So only Spain and Italy now were fighting this thing out for the Catholics. You get them in Spain. You take your ships, go up the channel. He had, 167 ships anyway. 136 ships, 50 cannons, and so on. So he moves up, and he's going to take England, and England would have fallen. The Queen, Elizabeth, quickly said, wait a minute, whoa, Parliament, you got to help me. I need 15 ships. They said, good Queen Bess, you'll have 30. So with 30 ships, they defeated 136 Spanish galleons. How many know there's a God? And when it happened, everyone said in England, England is saved. The Protestant religion is saved, because if it had only been up to Germany, it wouldn't have been. Because quickly the Pope was able, through the Jesuits, to gobble these people up. So in 1582, he sent to the, right here in France, just across from England, he had all these Jesuits training. They already had now about 287 colleges that they controlled by the time this was produced. They produced the Rams New Testament, which later in 1609, I believe it was, they produced the Douay version, which is the official Catholic version of the Bible. And that is why, just 2 years later, King James produced his own. Because this was an attempt to destroy the English people. Destroy the Bible, you destroy the people. Destroy the Bible, you destroy America. Any nation that today is prominent, Germany, England, any nation that made it is because of the Bible. And it's because of Textus Receptus. God has preserved any nation that adopted that one. I'll show you today, these are the nations that are prospering, even though they've all now turned against it, including our own. We live in great danger today of rejecting the one word. You live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if I had time, I would go through and show you all the changes that are different between these bad translations and the good ones, and I would show you where the NIV and where the NEB and all these different translations, where they omit the blood, or they omit the deity, or they omit the word God, or they omit what's critical to us. They don't omit something small, it's something critical to our faith, so that when you read it, you don't realize what it's really saying. For example, God was manifest in the flesh. That's huge. What an incredible thing to say that God came to earth, because some would say, well, I think it was so hidden that you're just making it up when you say Jesus was God. Well, there's a scripture for it. Well, get rid of that scripture, and then people can't believe in it. You cannot believe in what you don't hear or read or see. So God himself preserved this text to this day, ipsum verbum. That means the very words of God. And even though there may be a little phrase here or a little phrase there, nothing critical. Guaranteed, and everyone, even the enemies, agree to this, that the text that we have, if you're going to follow all the basic texts, those 5,000, fragments and books and so on, they, by and large, 92 to 93%, all totally agree. And in areas where they don't agree, it's not critical. It's on some small point, whether it's an Andronov or something like this. Not critical stuff at all. So everyone agrees that if this Bible is in fact the true Bible, then the other Bible, which does not agree with it at all, is a false Bible, and that's the trouble with modern translations. Why Robert and I both read the King James Version. You still do read that, don't you?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. And the reason is not because King James is perfect. It's not. It's got thous in it and a lot of stuff. That is not the issue. It's the issue of what's behind it. What are the texts that are there? You can improve upon the King James. It's not hard to do. We can do it. We do it every week. We read the original Masoretic Hebrew text out of the Hebrew. David Ireland back here, every month, you know, we read every week. We read out of the Bible, read it exactly in the original language so you can see it. And it's powerful. And you can change some of the words to say, well, the King James translators missed this one, or they could have said a little better here. But it's nothing critical. It's nothing substantial. It's just a little better. I mean, you can always rewrite the words. So the King James Version or the modern King James or the new King James, that's fine. That's not the issue. The issue is what texts are behind this. The Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus, which includes that text, of the New Testament. There we don't yield. Now, if the world today is in trouble, I guarantee you there's only one reason for it, and that's the loss of that text. If the world today is protected, there's only one reason, and that is that God has preserved this word. Now you may feel, well, that's just a Bible or a text. No. Your whole religion rises and falls. All of England rose and fell. All of Germany, all of Europe, all of the world today rises and falls over this. So if I were the enemy, I know exactly how the enemy thinks. If I were the enemy, I would go into publishing. I would go into the seminaries. I would take over every seminary and I would introduce doubt. I would introduce questions. I would become Greek scholars. It's exactly what the Jesuits did. When they realized they couldn't defeat the Greek with the Latin. See, they took the Latin version and said, we'll beat those Greek speakers day in and day out. They lost totally. The Jesuits were totally destroyed. They could not defeat the Greek text or the Textus Receptus. Therefore, they said, all right, let's become then the scholars of all their universities. Let's our people sneak into their universities, their seminaries, their school systems, take over SMU, TCU, Yale, Harvard, take over every school until we have dominated any country that's English-speaking, because the English-speaking people are the most dangerous. German scholarship fell by the wayside. It was captured, and they've captured it already. They did it all through the Kabbalah, and they did a lot of other things. So Germany basically fell. There are very few German scholars that are conservative anymore. Most of them have fallen under the sway of Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and so on and so forth. They've fallen under the bad texts, and that's all. That is the whole issue, total 100%. But England resisted, and England was the only nation that resisted. Spain at that time was the top. Spain now is at the bottom. Hear me. Germany is still up, England is still up, Scandinavia is still up, America is still up. But don't trade up in material possessions with up in terms of the basis of that, which is the King James Version or any Bible like it. Luther's Bible in the German, Calvin's Bible, the Geneva Bible, all of these Bibles are built on the same. Tyndale's Bible, they're all built on the same text. It's just that the King James was written at a time in history when the English language was much richer than it is today. We have more words today, and they're very specific, but in those days it was a richer vocabulary. In other words, it had more nuances, more... It was a richer language in the sense of expressing one word could cover three or four things. Today it's much more tight. So I'm trying to explain it in terms that you'd understand. The inflections are not there anymore. But when they translated the Bible, English was at its superb. It was the time of Shakespeare, Bacon's essays, if you know anything about literature, and so on. These were the great writers of England. The literature has never again surpassed this moment. God, knowing everything, has preserved His Word to this day, and I myself, who am a scholar of some sort, I myself have looked at these things, and I have come to the same conclusion as this handful of people from Erasmus and Luther and Calvin and so on, Beza, all of these people, I have come to the conclusion this is the reliable text, the Textus Receptus, and will not let it go to my death. So, when you say that, the enemy says, aha! And he is out then to undermine and destroy and try to steal away. But God says, aha, aha. Because God will preserve His own in order to preserve His church through preserving the Scriptures so that when His Son comes back, He will find faith. Otherwise, when the Son of Man comes back, He will not find faith.
Amen.
You cannot have faith, just faith. It has to be built on the Bible.
Amen.
They have kept the Roman Catholic people in darkness through this Douay version, through this Latin version, through Jerome's Vulgate. They even took over the word because it used to be the Greek Vulgate, but they changed it to make it look like the Latin was the same, but it was a trick. How many know the world's full of tricks? There's not nice people out there. Except for Robert and I, people are not nice. Don't trust people. Put your trust in the Lord and in the Scriptures He has given you, the common people. You know, this is what Tyndale said. I'll close with this. Tyndale said, you know, if God lets me live, he was talking to a Roman Catholic who said, the Pope's laws are higher than God's laws. And he said, you know, I'm glad you said that. Because if God lets me live, I will produce a Bible, putting into the hands of a plowboy who will know more about the Word of God than you do. And so that's what he did. He set about, and then God let him live. And he was able to produce this Bible that eventually became the basis for the King James. It essentially is Tyndale's Bible. And so, he won, the little plowboy won. A 7-year-old plowboy now can hold the Bible. And that's enough to defeat all the seminary professors in the world. Glory! Woo! The Bible says, if you add one word, I'll put all the curses of this book upon you. If you take away one word, this is Jesus talking, I will put all the curses of the Bible upon you, and particularly in this book. But if you will preserve my word, if you'll leave my word as it is and take it, receive it, I will protect you. I will bless you. I will prosper you. You will be the only people that will do exploits. That is why we are where we are today. Believe me, you don't have the clothing you wear and the things you have, the freedoms you have, except for the Word of God.
Amen.
That is the entire basis. This is a powerful message. It's a timely message. It's something critical to know. Why do we still read this old book that ought to be put to bed when we got so many modern, better printed, nice books? Why does the King James even dare to hang on? Because our enemies are working night and day to destroy that text.
Amen.
And these other scriptures, they often say, well, we're following the original text too, but they add in and always put footnotes and so on and so forth. They play with it. And when they said to King James, we want a Bible. 1,000 ministers wrote to him. We want a Bible, and we want no comment and no note. Just give us the Bible. Plain, simple. That's the King James Bible.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Father God, we thank you that you have preserved to us the Word of God. The Word of God is alive, it's quick, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting to the bone and to the marrow. When we read that Word of God, we can be saved, we can be healed, we can be encouraged, strengthened. When we read the Word of God, the true Word of God, the Word of God that you have preserved by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said, He will lead you into all truth. We thank you, Lord God, that He has kept this Bible alive for us, even at this day. And we will not yield. We will not give up. We will not surrender that which you have given to us, that which you have exalted so high. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' holy name. And all the people said,
amen.
And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. See you today.